This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Let's get you a little football's finest here on a Cowboy Victory Monday. No Gavin Dawson, no Zach Wolchuk. I'm Eric Chiafalo alongside the Super Bowl winning scout Brian Broaddus, Lucius Alexander producing the program, Carter Freeman coordinating the video, fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Great to have you in. Happy holidays to you. Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas. And we appreciate you hanging out with the G-Bag Nation. I did see that the Texans have claimed wide receiver Deontay Johnson off of waivers. The wide receiver that was traded from Carolina to the Ravens. I'm eating my words on that one. I thought that was a shrewd move right there for the Ravens, adding another dynamic pass catcher, a guy that's kind of a borderline wide receiver one, solid wide receiver two. And he did a big bag of nothing for the Ravens, so much so that he got frustrated. They got frustrated, and they said, to heck with you. We don't need you anymore, Deontay, which is perfect timing for the Texans, who lose Tank Dell to a catastrophic leg injury, ACL, and dislocated knee, all sorts of damage in there. Heartbreaks for Tank Dell. Unbelievable grab on Saturday at Arrowhead. Chiefs get the victory, but, I mean, toughness through the roof. Your knee just gets completely eviscerated. Yeah. You hang on for the grab, and unfortunately your team ends up losing. But now Deontay Johnson goes to the Texans, and we'll see. Maybe this will work out for him. He is a good player when things are right. He was awesome in Pittsburgh. He was the only really good pass catcher for the Panthers after they moved on from DJ Moore. Did nothing with the Ravens, so we'll see.
Aren't they the Texans playing the Ravens? So he goes from being on the street to being claimed to being playing against his old club. I think the Texans and the Ravens are playing.
Yeah, Christmas. Yeah. Baltimore goes to Houston Christmas Day.
Yeah.
So that's funny. I believe Beyonce is doing the halftime show. Did you guys see that? Beyonce doing the hometown Houston Christmas Day halftime?
Yeah, seen that. What's the quarterback for the Ravens?
Lamar Jackson.
He said he's going to watch the halftime show and not go in there and, you know, get coached up during halftime.
I thought I saw that. I thought him say, like, hey, to heck with the halftime adjustments. Hopefully we're up and we're feeling good. Sorry, coach. I'm watching Beyonce at the halftime.
We had the kicker at Cincinnati do that during the Super Bowl, right?
Bengals kicker. And, yes, he got reprimanded a little bit because he bailed on the halftime adjustments locker room deal and he wanted to watch I think that was the Dr. Dre Snoop Dogg one.
Sure.
So, I mean, who can blame him?
It was L.A., the one out there in L.A., yeah.
Yeah, it was the L.A. Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Good on Lamar Jackson. He's got the clout for it. I mean, like, come on. Especially when they talk about, like, a lot of these people say, like, halftime adjustments are overrated and they're not really doing much in there
You don't have much time to do really anything. I mean, there might be four or five things that they put up on the board. Usually some, like, you know, nowadays you have all these coaches, like 20-something coaches on the staff, you'll send somebody down into the locker room early, and they'll put up all the things that they want to do up on the board to kind of get ready for it. So that's what they do. And, you know, the offensive coordinator will stand up there and go, like, okay, this is what we need to do. You know, 1, 2, and 3, and then that's kind of how it works. So like, oh, we're getting a lot of this look. And the next thing you know, you get something to drink, you go to the restroom, and then you're back out on the field.
Time to pump and dump. That's your pump and dump time real quick?
Exactly. Yeah.
Time you back up, bro. Yeah. Let me put the shoulder pads back on.
Yeah, taking those shoulder pads off. Yeah. That's a dangerous game.
Well, I've seen like when you play in those early season games, say you play down in Miami or Tampa, one of those things, I've seen like skill guys completely change their uniforms.
Because they've just sweated through it all.
Yeah, like the center might change pants because of the, you know, because of the wetness and stuff like that.
Swamp ass.
Yeah, on the pants. So you get, sometimes you get full on changing undershirts and all that stuff.
Got a wardrobe change, like he's hosting the Grammys or something.
Oh, I tell you what, I mean, like some of these equipment men are, and gal, they're really good at this. Like they'll have everything in the locker, and as soon as you walk in, pants, pad, all that stuff is ready to go. Just throw it, you know, get it all taken off, and then go to the next deal.
It's like the Rangers before they got Globe Life Field. I mean, in the summertime.
Oh my God!
You're playing baseball in July. Yeah. Might run through three.
Talking
uniforms.
To Emily Jones about that. Remember how she's always down in the dugout area, and like at the end of the game, it's like she had just gone through a battle.
She's welcoming the Gatorade bath.
She loves the new ballpark because those dugouts are like, you know, geez, like, you know, 105, 108. She's down there every night dealing with that TV stuff with all that equipment, hot equipment.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Oh.
Well, hey, shout out to Michael Penix Jr., the rookie stepping in for Kirk Cousins. It's always good. What is that, Jason Kelce dressed as Santa Claus at Lambeau Field
now? He is dressed as Santa Claus right now. Absolutely.
Monday night countdown. You have the Saints going to Lambeau to take on the Packers. I have a nice little Saints nugget for you at 6 o'clock. They're trying to take measures into their own hands as it pertains to the cold.
You know what? I think I've heard this. Did they do your drill?
A little bit. Some iteration of it. And shout out to Darren Rizzi, the interim head coach there. After Dennis Allen was fired, I guess he's trying to pull out all the stops. I respect it. We'll get to it in the hodgepodge, 6 o'clock. LA Live coming up here in just a little bit. Commercial-free Expressway. We'll hit Krusty's Corner 2.0, looking at the
offense. Yeah, Cowboys offense.
Cooper Rush was dominant. Okay, Michael Penix, though, dude, but between the numbers yesterday, he was 11 for 11, 143 yards, 13 yards per attempt, 8 first downs. A lot of times these young dudes, they're fearful of throwing the football over the middle of the field.
Even the old dudes are fearful. Like Cooper Rush was a little fearful. He was 6 for 6 for 21 yards to start that day yesterday, you know, that game yesterday.
Well, Cowboys came out quick passing game, boom, boom, boom.
They drove me nuts that me and Wolchuk are sitting there and it's 3rd and 1 and they get into empty shotgun and we're like, what good could happen here? And he did a nice job getting the ball out. CeeDee Lamb a couple times, you know, doing what he had to do. But I can't stand that when teams are getting empty shotgun on 3rd and 1.
Cowboys knew early on in that game they were not going to be – if they need a yard to gain, they're not going to get it on the ground.
No.
Even the Zeke touchdown,
he
had to just make a great effort play.
I watched every running – I went back and watched every just running play of Rico Dowdle. You will not believe how many times they just missed a block. They just flat – somebody missed a block that are they like the Hoffman's supposed to get this guy secured and guy just goes around him and now it's a 1 yard gain. And I'm not just singling out. I just did Hoffman, but
it was across the board.
Okay. How about this? They're asking Cooks to block on a defensive end in that game.
I know that was such an awful,
I mean,
can't ask Cooks to block a 275 pounder.
Yeah. They had a couple of times. Flournoy
got blown up. And that defender, he blew up Flournoy and then blew up whoever was on the receiving end of that play. A great tackle.
Gosh, there's some things that are just Mingo. I think they're using Mingo like as an extra, like a tight end. Because there were a couple of times he played like tight formation, like he was like,
he's just here to block.
It's weird. People have asked me about, is there anything you see on film? They don't throw him the ball. He does block. He shows some toughness. I don't know what else you can get from that, because he hadn't had a good pass thrown to him since I think his days at Ole Miss.
Yeah, since college.
I mean, I think that's the last time he had a pass that he had a chance on.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, Panthers offense was dismal. And then now he's dealing with Cooper Rush in this offense. So, well, we'll get to Krusty's Corner coming up. We'll look at the Cowboys offense after the victory last night. But Michael Penix, great first start. Always good when you get to go up against the Giants in your first start. A little tune-up game there. Get the feet wet. And now he did have an interception in the game. This was not on Penix. This was down near the goal line. And Kyle Pitts just I don't even know what
volleyball
he was
one?
Doing.
Yeah, yeah,
volleyball. It's right there in the bread basket. Yeah. He bobbles it. It goes and gets intercepted by the Giants. So on the stat sheet, Penix with an interception. This was Penix on that play after the game.
That pick in the red zone was my fault. I should have known Kyle Pitts. Dog ass can't catch our shit. I drafted this bus in fantasy like 3 years in a row now. Bro. Also put the fries in the bag. Kirk, this NFL quarterback thing is pretty chill and easy. I can't wait to go to the Super Bowl next year.
1 second, bro. Once I was like, wait a minute. Okay. You had me for 1 second right there, dog.
Yeah, there's that was the Baker Mayfield one.
The Baker Mayfield one's like that's pretty funny.
I didn't see the Baker one.
Yeah, I just saw it. I need to send it to Luke. I think there's some cussing in it. Maybe I don't want to.
There's probably some cussing.
I don't want to make any extra work. Or
yeah, if they're doing the AI.
It better be some cussing.
Yeah, right. Yeah. When they do the AI stuff,
but yeah, he was talking about how he goes, yeah, Paul gets intercepted by a 5 foot cornerback. He's talking about Jordan Lewis.
Hey, don't you disrespect Jay Lou now,
Baker. Not our guy.
Now, here was Joe Burrow after the Bengals get their victory. And we remember last week he gifted his offensive line. What was it, Broadus?
Oh, he gets the swords.
The katana swords.
Katana swords.
Samurai swords.
Samurai swords.
This was Joe Burrow being asked about that after the game.
Well, they wanted guns. And I was like, I don't know about guns, guys. And so I was in the weapon mindset, and I was like, what's a cool weapon? And samurai swords, I think, are pretty dang cool. And, Nicole, she works for me, and she was able to go and find them for me. So she did a great job finding the best ones out there. So I think guys were excited about it.
I mean, I'm sure they were. They wanted the weaponry, and he's trying to figure out the coolest weapon.
Guns.
I think. I mean, what would be cooler than that? Some type of awesome like nunchucks or like ninja stars, maybe like one of those tomato gun like rocket launcher kind of deals.
Like a
t-shirt launcher.
No,
I'm trying to think like what could have been cooler than the samurai sword. But I mean, how about Joe Burrow got like an assistant or whatever?
I think that's got him in a little trouble. Just the young lady that they're talking about with might be causing some problems.
No, I don't think.
This is not the assistant.
I don't think he's dipping pen in company ink.
I'm just saying. Though,
I think there's a separation of my assistant and then my fiance. Instagram model girlfriend.
Yeah, but they're both like knockouts.
Oh, are they?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah. Yeah.
He's got that scout's eye.
Yeah, he does. LSU guys, we all have scout's
eyes. That's true, man. Here was.
You got to give him that hook.
How about the Eagles losing? It's amazing. Eagles fans losing their minds. And C.J. Gardner-Johnson also.
Can we get a worse background for these coaches on these conference call things they're doing? I mean, does it look like it's a green screen thing?
Yeah, they're doing the Zoom conference.
It looks like the bad days of Zoom when we used to do radio with this kind of thing. Look at this.
Yeah, it's bad. They're half-assing this thing. Here was you had C.J. Gardner-Johnson of the Eagles getting ejected from the game. He must have said something that was really, really offensive because he's the one that got punched in the face, but he's the one that got ejected from the game. He's back flipping, double middle fingering the crowd there as he's walking off the field in Washington. And then after the game, he goes into the locker room, Instagram live, and crashes out.
F*** y'all talking about?
Don't lose no fucking yards, man.
F*** y'all talking about? Man, what? Man, f*** them refs, man. Them refs wanted me out there. They ain't do shit anyway, man.
Remember that?
They ain't do shit. No, I ain't do shit.
The fine will be coming for him.
Yeah.
And thanks to Lucius, the fine will not be coming for me. There's a little background.
I heard a little background. That's what.
Yeah, somebody in the background hyping him up. Yeah. Oh, no, dog. Like, you're speaking the truth right now, kinda, fam.
Before the coaches come in there. I can't imagine Sirianni probably liked it.
Kind of reminds me of like when I walked in there when Darren Woodson and George Teague, when the Terrell Owens on the star. I was hype man for both those guys. You know? So yeah, it was if you would have had a lot of bleeps on that one between me, Woody, and George.
I believe
Steve.
It. Yeah. 940 says the crossbow might have been cooler.
Oh, there you go. Crossbow
would have been pretty sick. But
shoot that thing straight up in the air. Watch everybody scatter.
You ever played that game Lawn Darts? You know, you ever seen what I'm talking about? Lawn Darts?
I don't think so.
It's got like the quill. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's dangerous as hell, bro. Google it.
All right.
Like Lawn Darts is like a... I think it's a game that's banned in like most countries.
I was going to say, as I'm typing in Lawn Darts, it pops up suggesting Lawn Darts banned.
Bro, we've lost some good kids because of that damn game.
Oh my gosh. What the heck is this? Yeah, okay, I'm seeing.
It was a game we played in the 70s.
And you're trying to land it in a little ring?
Yeah, it's like we were smoking cigarettes while we were playing Lawn Darts, and then we got in the back of the station wagon with no seatbelt and drove to the liquor store. That's what we did.
Yeah. Oh, man, the good old days.
And drank on the way back to Lawn Darts.
Mosquito spray. Y'all drink mosquito spray while riding your bikes.
Oh, my gosh. What a ridiculous era.
The 70s was...
This game looks pretty dangerous.
Yeah, man. If you survive, you win. Yeah. That's the name of it.
It is.
Literally last man
the
standing.
The Hunger Games, yeah.
All right, let's go commercial-free expressway style. We'll get you to LA Live as quickly as possible. Krusty's Corner 2.0. And what are we looking at?
Yeah, let's take a look at the Cowboys offense, some of the big plays from the game. We'll do that next.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go commercial free to the top of the hour. We'll get you to LA Live as quickly as possible. Thank you. Expressway courtesy of the on-time experts. And this segment of the G-Bag Nation is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. And now we throw things over to the king of the Krusties, the Super Bowl winning scout. It's Brian Broaddus for Krusty's Corner 2.0 on a Cowboy Victory Monday.
Thank you there, Eric, and thank you, Lucius, as well. Appreciate you guys. All right, let's talk about the offense and some of the big plays that I noticed on tape yesterday. And, okay, this is – I'm going to go to – we mentioned about Turpin running the ball. Remember we put him in the backfield there, and he was able to get like a 12-yard run off inside there, like between the – you know, between the center and the guard there. They're able to kind of hit that little soft spot there, and then – make something big out of it.
Yeah, that was surprising because they always obviously want to get to the edge with Turpin.
Right.
And last night, you couldn't do anything running the ball between the tackles at all, that one play.
This is just like a straight inside zone run is what this was. And so you're right. He usually gets, you know, trying to get it to the edge, the jet sweeps. Last week against the Panthers, there were a couple of opportunities that went to the outside. They got some really good blocks for him. But this is an outstanding – there's a couple of really outstanding blocks on this play, and they didn't have nearly enough of them. I know I was talking to you guys about when you watched Dowdle run. It just seemed like that every time they handed him the ball, there was a breakdown, whether a guard breakdown, center breakdown, a tackle breakdown. They tried to, you know, with the wide receivers block. It just – they couldn't get anything really going where they had been blocking pretty well for him, but last night they – It was a problem. But Turpin's big run was, like I say, just a straight inside zone run. Outstanding block by Tyler Smith on Vita Vea. He cuts Vita Vea off. Usually Vita Vea is going to push you in, compress you into the hole. But Smith, being a strong guy that he is, was able to kind of cut him off and then turn his body. And what it did was it created that a little bit of a seam for Turpin to find there. Adoga got Hall, the defensive end, got him taken care of. That's, like I say, between Adoga and Smith's block, there's that seam that Turpin was able to get up in on. He hits it quickly before the defense even had a chance to react. And he makes Merriweather the safety miss on him. So that got you some positive yards on that play, which hadn't been very, very much. All right. So the very next play, McCarthy keeps the same personnel group in the game, and he puts Turpin again in the backfield. Now, this is where you had success on a play translates into more success in the next play, because they go Cooper Rush, go they go heavy play action to Turpin in the backfield. But what happens, it draws the entire Buccaneer defense up. They're like thinking, oh no, here we go. He's gonna they're gonna back to back run this play. But they go the heavy play action, so you get the lines trying to get off blocks, the linebackers are stepped up, and it affects the safety. And you know, isn't the safety is like he is playing at depth, and when he sees the fake, he comes forward. And so what happens is Cooks is on the move going right to left, and he's and so your safety gets pulled out of position. Cooks just runs by him, just completely runs by him. Give CeeDee Lamb some credit, because what he does is Lamb goes vertical and it clears that space. So safety forward, corners carrying Lamb inside. So there's nobody in that side of the field over there. And then Cooper Rush is able just to kind of slide a little bit to his left and then make the throw outside. So really nice design. Back-to-back plays, chunk plays, explosive plays with the run by Turpin and then the big reception by Cooks. All right, got to be fair to this guy. I've been very critical of Tolbert, and his touchdown was a really, really nice job on his part. But this is also a really good job by Cooper Rush to hang in there with Vita Vea right in his face. It appears that Tolbert is going to go, is trying to kind of go run a crossing route. So when it went off the snap, he comes off the ball, and it looks like he's going to run a crossing route underneath. But David, the linebacker, walls him off, like turns ready for the crosser. So Tolbert is able to adjust his route. So David's got him on the what's going to be the cross, but then he has to carry him as he goes up. And Tolbert did a really, really good job of saying, okay, I can't get inside. Rush is holding the ball thinking, okay, I'm not going to – I've got the crossing route, but all of a sudden now there's adjustment. Mm-hmm. And it really it's like Tolbert, smart play on his part. So he's going to take it vertically, and what happens is David, the linebacker, struggles, and then he's kind of off balance, falling down. Cooper Rush with Vita Vea in his face gets the ball out. And now Tolbert's able to adjust and get both feet down. So really nice shot by Cooper Rush hanging in the pocket, allowing the play to develop, Tolbert adjusting the route to get vertically to give Cooper Rush the window to able to throw the ball. So really, really nice pass there.
You see the little moments from Tolbert where you're like, man, if you could just consistently put it together.
Been very critical of him, you know, and I feel like that they need to be a little bit, you know, it's you know, he comes back and makes a really good catch on third down.
That was an incredible catch.
See, and you know, when you watch that one, this is really a good use of Cooks as a pick out of bunch formation. So you got the 3-1 side. Tolbert steps back. So instead of coming off the ball, you get Ferguson, and then you also get Cooks. And they all step forward, so they're going up in the route, and then and Tolbert steps back to allow the routes to go up the field, and then he just gives them that slight little bit of delay. And then what happens after that is he's able to break to the outside, so he's got separation again on the safety over there. And Tolbert with a really nice adjusting catch. That ball was not thrown well at all.
No.
And Tolbert is able to adjust. He makes the catch. More importantly is he gets to get forward. That's a 3rd-and-9 play, and he gets 10 with the catch, the balance, and then the lunge forward there to get the first down for you.
Huge third down, and then they followed up with another big third down, the unreal grab down the sideline from Lamb when he got held, but still came up with the play.
Yeah.
That was awesome. And to go back to the Tolbert touchdown, One of the things that I wrote down on that play, I mean, you had Vita Vea right there. I mean, Hoffman gets smoked back-to-back plays.
Yeah.
So Hoffman gets smoked in pass pro. Then the next play, he gets dominated by Vita Vea, yeah. But Rush hung
in there. Okay, you mentioned Lamb's 52-yard reception. This is Lamb. He's working on McCollum, the cornerback, and he beats him right off the line. And this forces McCollum to have to grab him. So Lamb has got the call, you know, by winning right off the line. He gets the holding call. Turpin, with an excellent route in the middle of the field, forces the safety again, isn't to have to drive on it. So there's the crosser, and now the safety's driving. That's going to clear. So now you got Lamb on the vertical crosser, safety up, no help. You know, no help right there. So Lamb tracks the ball. He pushes off McCollum just a little bit. You could kind of tell he kind of bumps him with his arm. He's going to bump him, and then he's going to find the ball and then make the reception. That thing went for 52 yards.
Lamb was just outstanding last night, especially in that first half. Obviously got shaken up. I think, was that the play he got shaken up on? Was that the play where his shoulder?
Yeah, but the shoulder got banged up.
But I mean,
he had a reception early. They had another
deep, double coverage.
Yeah, the deep shot. Yeah, and this was, I thought that Rush on the double coverage was going to try and hit Schoonmaker. I thought that because Schoonmaker was on, again, the crossing route, and so they take Lamb on the vertical route. But he, you know, because the way that Cooper Rush plays, it's underneath. But, you know, here he is. He's going to take a shot. But Lamb is double covered on this play.
Yeah.
So, what, you know, excellent job by him escaping. They've got Dean the corner, isn't the safety, and he loses both of them and then is able to make the catch down the field. Great job by him to make that play. Great job by Cooper Rush of getting him the football.
Yeah, I mean, on a night where you can't run the ball at all, you can't just go 4 yards quick passing game all night. That's how they started, but then boom, they start taking shots.
Yeah,
and it was really awesome to see them do that.
Yeah, early in the game, there's a third down play that Cooks. You know, the first series they had a couple of times where they had to convert some third downs, and they run one of my favorite plays that they have in their offense, and this is when that Cooks gets paired with Ferguson. You know, I like the moving pick. I think that's just a great way of operating.
Helping to create space just with your alignment.
This is one of my favorite plays that they run. So Ferguson is inside in the slot, and then Cooks is outside of him. Usually we see it where he's lined up behind him, or they'll motion him down, and then he'll run behind him that way. But he was the outside of him. And so what happens is Rico Dowdle flares to the right, and that pulls the linebacker out of – it pulls David, the linebacker, out. So the flare on man coverage pulls the linebacker. You got Ferguson going up, so you got kind of the pick there, and then you get Cooks to the middle, and then that's where they were able to make the throw. So Rush initially looks like he wants to throw to Lamb on the slant, but then he kind of comes back because it's just not open. But he comes back. Cooks is open right over the middle of the defense. So there was several times last night where they were able to attack this Buccaneers defense with some throws. We saw with Cooper Rush hitting Rico Dowdle in the middle of the field. We saw him hitting Lamb in the middle of the field. We saw them, you know, and then here's Cooks. So really nice job of getting that first down when they needed there on third down.
Yeah, a couple of big third downs last night to really help propel things. I don't know what else you got here, but like the run game, I'm just trying to figure out. Like, this was going to be an interesting game for...
Yeah, and watching the run game, like I said, there was... What I gathered, and I watched really all of Rico Dowdle's carries, and, you know, there was not many of them. But what you saw was they had some problems. You mentioned Hoffman with dealing with Vita Vea.
I saw him get smoked quite a bit.
Yeah,
run game and pass pro, it's Vita Vea. I get it.
But they tried, mentioned about the wide receivers blocking on the edge, you know, not getting to the linebackers, tackles missing the edges. They had some problems with the run game where they had been really, really clean in some of their execution the last several weeks running the football, just not as clean. Not as clean.
With 0% success rate on Rico runs.
Yeah. Well, that,
and he's been one of the best in the league.
He's been one of the absolute best. And the problem that Dallas had last night was letting blockers escape. Dallas has been really, really good with not allowing those blockers to escape, or excuse me, those defenders to not escape from them. Last night was a bad example. And the Buccaneers going into the game, we talked about this a little bit. Buccaneers are a good tackling team. They don't give you much after the initial carry. They're not very good. I mean, if you look at the metrics, every one of their players, it was on the field, it was 1.9 yards, 1.8, 1.2. They were, when the Dallas end of it, there were 5.4, 5.6. The metrics were not in a favor. You know, the Cowboys got the win, but the metrics for the Buccaneers playing run defense was much better than Dallas has seen the last several weeks.
Yeah, Cowboys couldn't run the ball at all. Did Guyton play what, one series?
He was one series, and then he got beat inside.
Yeah, he got beat bad.
Yeah, got beat inside.
Run block and a pass where he got tore up. Yeah.
I don't know if that's a good thing for him, just to be able to have to play. I tell you what, Chuma Doga has played pretty well at tackle. He has played pretty well, but I don't know if that's a good thing for Guyton only be playing one series.
No offensive lineman's used to doing that. No. So I'm kind of wondering, and I know the coaches, they're trying to win, and they think Adoga gives them the best chance to do that.
That's,
I understand.
Why he's going
to
keep playing.
But, man, you got to get Guyton more reps there. Plenty more from this game, some takeaways, some questionable things from McCarthy, I think, late in the game that we can discuss. We'll get two guys, one booth, coming up at 6:20, Sports Hodgepodge, top of the hour. But right now we throw it into the Pimp Cup. L.A. Live on a Monday.
All right. Let's get into a Monday-Friday edition of L.A. Live right after the great Rick James.
Fire up this funk and let's have a tone. It'll make you dance to some of everything. Everybody get high.
A little Monday motivation.
You ain't never heard a crackhead say, "I ain't got no money today, so I ain't about to go smoke no crack." You ain't never heard that. Why? Because they do it no matter what. They get it done. Go out there today with that crackhead energy.
Yeah.
Go be a crackhead. I mean, don't go smoke crack. I'm just trying to give some morning motivation, man. I don't know how else to say this. Hone in on that crackhead energy. Don't do crack, but be a crackhead.
Yeah.
But not a crackhead. Just have a fucking good day.
Yeah.
That's
all I'm talking about. Hey, he said crackhead energy, and then right here, he started grooving a little bit. Listen.
I'm just trying to give some morning motivation, man.
I'm just trying to give some morning motivation, baby. You know me, baby. It's your boy. It's me.
Hey, that's good wisdom right there.
Sound a little crackish. Hey, this is LA Live for Monday, December 23rd, 2024. It is a Monday Friday here in LA Live. A word to the now disbanded rap group, hip-hop group, PPT for the name right there. Monday, Friday, the vibes here in LA Live is just where I go over some things I've seen over the weekend. Like I seen that our man, Travis Hunter. And y'all seen that he deactivated his Instagram account?
I did. Yeah.
Well, I don't blame him, dude. This is getting bad.
Every single day, there's something new with this couple, and the internet detectives are pulling out all types of receipts on her. My God. And it's sometimes like, I don't even want to be bothered. I already said my piece. Like, it looks kind of funny to me, but I understand you're young in love. I get it. Maybe both of you guys need to mature. I get it. Or maybe you like your goofy girl. I get it. Maybe both of y'all are goofies. I understand.
But at some point, it gets just too loud.
It is getting
really noisy.
Dog. So the Twitter users dug into the archives and found a video of Travis Hunter's girlfriend twerking on some dude at a party.
Yeah.
They also found a music video she was featured in during their relationship with Travis. And she's shaking that fish basket. She's
brutal.
Shaking that fish basket on there.
Schoolgirl outfit and everything, dude.
It looks pretty cool. Now there's a dude selling t-shirts with a photo of him and Travis Hunter's girlfriend at that party. and he's squeezing on them cheeks.
This is where you just, you've seen too much at this point.
Yeah.
At what point have you seen and heard too much? You just got to distance yourself.
What, my girl can't dance at a party?
Is that what you said?
I mean, the idea that someone's selling merch like this, first of all, bleep hole of the week.
Bleep hole
of the year, potentially.
Merch.
Right as we get to the finish line of 2024, we might hand it over to this guy. That is over the top disrespectful.
No, it's hella toxic, bro. Something the future would do. But the t-shirts don't look too bad. They don't.
They're kind of fire.
Yeah, they're kind of fire. And I'm a man that likes those type of t-shirts.
A late addition to the Christmas list.
I hate to do you like that, Trav, man.
I hate to do you like that, bro. But just, yes, stay focused, man. And what is this thing called? Prenups.
Yeah.
Sign a prenup, fam. And then live your life. Do what you want to do.
I can already envision now defenders in the NFL pregame warmups wearing that t-shirt before they're getting set to cover Travis Hunter. You know what I'm saying? It's that type of just disaster.
Would that way, would
you? You don't think somebody's going to do that?
No.
I mean, I guess since
that's super.
You don't think they would do that?
I just don't.
You don't think somebody would just be? We need to bring that old NFL back then if they don't do that. That's the problem. Like Magic Johnson said, there's no rivalries in the NBA. That's why the ratings are down. Yeah. Bring some rivalries back. I want to see some intenseness.
If Josh Norman was still playing corner in the league, it would happen.
Josh Norman.
Yeah, I perform like Josh Norman. Yeah, man, so Travis, be careful out there. It's something about being young, especially when Travis, it seems like his whole world is lining up for him. He's got it all kind of figured out. Mm-hmm. And really, his journey is just starting.
Right.
Yeah.
I've been there before, bro. I understand, man.
And this is supposed to be such a great time. You're the Heisman. Yeah. You're the man. You're about to be a top two or three pick in the draft. And you're dealing with this crap.
Yeah. I wish I had this many people though telling me about the, you know, red lights.
Yeah.
What do they call it? Red signs?
Red flags.
Red flag.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish somebody would have told me about red flags like that. At least that many people. LA Live 105.3 The Fan on a Monday, Friday. Some stuff I've seen over the weekend. It's really sad right here. We have a Texas man that stole a barbecue pit from a church parking lot.
Wow.
Yeah, he just went over there with his truck. The barbecue pit was sitting on a trailer. The trailer was on flat, but he still pulled up, hooked it up to his little fifth wheel, and pulled on out.
Oh, no.
Surveillance video shows a man in a white pickup truck. Richie Witt, you are looking like a genius right now. You are looking like a genius, dog. Yeah,
he was ahead of his time with that one.
Way ahead of your time, man. You was trying to tell us, man. Yeah, white pickup truck driving off with the barbecue pit and the trailer, and it sits on. Even though it had deflated tires, this happened at Temple Emmanuel Christian Church. I think that's out there, and I Googled it, Galveston.
Oh.
The pit was used for charity events. Boy, you gotta have no kind of soul. You have to be the Grinch with a very, very little heart to steal a barbecue grill from the church. Almost been one hell of a barbecue grill.
Yeah,
right?
I'm like, is this one of the green eggs? Is this one of them Traegers?
I Googled it. It was $12,000 barbecue grill.
Oh, no.
Okay, so he knew he had a gem on his hands, and he couldn't resist.
Couldn't help it. It's gonna be a hot place down there where you go. For real, like, what if they run your highlights back, and when you get up there to the pearly gates, yeah. Is this you right here pulling up to the church and taking a barbecue grill? Is that you, my man? Go stand over there on the left.
Time of fence, yeah.
Step to the right, please. Yeah, wild stuff out here.
I mean, God's pretty forgiving, but my goodness, man. Where do you draw the line?
Come on, my guy. LA Live 105.3 The Fan. Tis the season for the jokes. You got this man still in the barbecue grill. And I want you to keep your head on a swivel out here and watch out for scammers. I don't want you to be fooled. Plano police say they have discovered a skimming device in a grocery store of all places. You guys know what the skimming device is?
No.
You put it on top of where you check out at. Where you pull your card in and it takes like your PIN, it gets your information. It can basically copy who you are.
Okay.
And they go out there and buy stuff online.
I see this at the gas pump. You know, I see clips or whatever at the gas pump. I'm always kind of looking over my shoulder like, am I about to get got right here? Now they've leveled up to the grocery stores. Is this like an insider job, cashier?
I hope not.
Collecting?
I hope not.
Damn.
I'd be scared about that too. When you go to those independent little moms and pop joints,
yeah.
Which I do like. They remind me of bodegas and stuff. You can find anything in there.
Right.
But sometimes I'm like untrustworthy. Like, man, are you gonna lick me?
Yeah. Wish I just had some cash on me right here.
Yeah. I usually don't go to gas pumps for that reason. I'll walk inside and go ahead and pay with my card because I'm always worried about skimmers. Because they're at ATMs out there. They're at gas pumps. and retail store checkouts. Sometimes people can finagle those and put it on there. So watch out for the skimming situations. Taking your ID. Some things you can look for when it comes to those skimmers: tape. Maybe there's like little tape right there. If it's a little too bulky, maybe they put an attachment on top of it.
Oh,
glue or residue. Because it's not supposed to look like this.
You just got
to
have that awareness. You know, yeah, you got to have the head on a swivel and
a whole lot of trust.
Cross your fingers.
Yeah. Poorly lit pumps, and if there's no video surveillance areas, then you might be getting licked. So be careful, fam. They're moving to the grocery stores. Moving to the grocery stores.
I mean, you're not safe at church with your grill. I'll just pull off in the church parking lot, go get these tires figured out. We'll come back. We'll be all good. Nope.
Nope. I'm going to need this, and I'm going to need that. Some of this, some of that. G-Bag of the Day, we do it every weekday on the Fan at 2:30. If you see anything floating out there, don't be afraid to hit me up at Lucky Lucius P. on social media, Lucius Alexander on Facebook. You can follow us all if you find G-Bag Nation on Twitter. Our winner right here, he goes by the name of Bobby Belt. My God, Bobby Belt. Bobby Loose Belt right here. Crashes out over Coach McCarthy and the Fan Techs.
0696 is, gosh, you're about to get your whole number right on here,
listen,
bro.
You, I think you're missing the point. You're too much, you know, on Mike's butt. You got sooner or later.
God damn. Okay, 9-0-3. Oh, they won 12 games 3 years in a row. Injuries took them out of the playoffs this year. How can you say injuries took them out of the playoffs when they're winning all their freaking games now? They're winning all their freaking games.
Look at this guy.
It is a total.
Look at this guy.
I'm sick and tired. It is a.
Chris Arnold's going
to
come in here.
This leaning in here. Leaning in here to this jackass opinion that injuries are the reason why they lost. They had their health when they were losing. They're winning these games with their injuries.
They were not any good this year. The team was not any good this year.
And that's the reason. They're winning with the injuries. These people, anybody who's blaming injuries for this, you're an idiot.
Bobby.
And you are comfortable,
you know,
with the standard of 9-8.
You need to relax.
Jeff
you
Fisher
need
fan
to
base.
Relax.
Gosh, dang.
The calm down, relax never works, though. That usually is just acts as fuel.
Yeah, that'll hype you up. I can't believe Choppy is the voice of reason.
He's
right
trying
there.
To be. I think Choppy was trying to be voice of reason, but he knew that he was loving that Bobby was losing it. And he's like, oh, Bobby, shut up. But in real life, he's kind of like hoping he continues.
A Bobby crash out in real time is a hell of an experience. I mean, the GD and then the...
That was so
he had one, too, at one point where he did the FU. He just didn't finish it out with the CK.
What is wrong with him?
But he held that U for a sound. I was like, oh my goodness.
He's got to chill, Bob. You got to relax, bro.
Don't let the news break that McCarthy's coming back on a 4-year extendo. That might be the end of Robert.
Hey, I did some TV watching this weekend. I love this intro. Tell me if you've seen this before. Emily Live 105.3 The Fan. On a Monday, Friday. Remember this old school HBO intro right here?
Yeah,
y'all?
Absolutely, yeah.
I gotta let it ride for a second before I tell you what I seen. Ah! 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 Ah!
That does get you fired up.
Yeah.
Smell of popcorn in the air.
Oh. And you just hope they don't show the rating that it's like, this is rated R, and your parents are standing over your shoulder.
Whoa, no.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know if you guys seen this. I'm behind on this one. Special Forces, Toughest Test. It's on Fox.
No.
Special Forces, Toughest Test. It's on Fox. So far, there's 2 seasons of this show. Huh. 16 celebrity contestants that battle through a special forces training challenge.
Wow, I see Cam Newton on the back of Bruce Jenner's son.
Come on, it is so good. I burned through like 8 episodes this weekend.
Was this the one where Dez Bryant was on?
Yes, he's on season 2. I haven't seen that yet, but yes, he is definitely on there.
Yeah, okay.
Oh my gosh, it's so good. I love it, especially, you know, I'm a former military guy.
Right, so this is celebrities getting put through the test.
Through the real deal test. They're out there for 10 days in the desert. They're muddy and nasty. They're wearing like socks. Like, it's real deal.
Yeah. Was Cam Newton wearing his hat?
I didn't get to see Cam in his little goofy hat.
Season three, Cam. I see him on the back of Bruce Jenner's son right now on the cover. That's hilarious.
That's crazy. That's crazy. 10 days on this training course they're doing. The course is designed to replicate an actual Special Forces selection course. You know, that Special Forces selection thing is very difficult. Mm. They start up with like 200 guys and end up with 7 as they go through the thing. So shout out to these celebrities and these athletes for lining up. Hannah Brown, she's from The Bachelorette. She's got a lot of heart. She's in there. Carly Lloyd, Dwight Howard.
Oh.
Danny Amendola. My God! Gus Kenworthy, Mike Piazza. It's really good.
Mike Piazza?
Yes. Mike Piazza's in that joint.
Wow.
He is. Battling with his mind and his body. It's a really good thing. Anthony Scaramucci, the Mooch.
Yeah.
He's in that joint. It's pretty good, man. What else can I tell you about this? Oh, the dynamics of season one, the show really kicked off when the staff sergeants have the celebrity recruits line up in the strongest to weakest. And the staff sergeants didn't pick. It's like you guys decide who's the strongest and who the weakest is the situation. Dwight Howard instantly jumps up to the very start of the line. Like, it's definitely me.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I'm telling my girl next to me, I was like, yeah, I've had basketball practice and I've had football practice. That basketball practice is not as hard as that football practice.
No, yeah.
Nowhere close. I mean, the suicides at the end of practice will get you, but football, there's nothing quite like that.
So that's when the dynamics really kick off, man. Y'all got to watch that. If you're into it, you know, I'm saying I like it. I'm not saying it's a must watch. Special Forces, World Toughest Test. On Fox. Oh my God, it was good. I burned through episodes.
No, you sold it, man. This looks exciting.
It is.
7 out of 10 on IMDb. And that's a strong rating for them.
Yeah. And I was watching, I watched it on Hulu, by the way. So that's where you want to pick it up at. Before I get out of here, because they are shining that light on me, and it means it's time to go, Lucius. Did you hear Tom Brady take a shot of Devondre Campbell?
Oh, I didn't actually see it or hear it, but I heard that he had some words for him. The quitter, Devondre Campbell, the linebacker quitter. For the Niners, right? Oh,
quit on the squad, right?
No.
Then Kyle Van Noy, he broke his orbital bone and is still out there playing and whatnot, right?
Yes, yes. He had a broken face to start the year and didn't miss a game.
Yeah, so Tom does that one thing where you praise somebody by tearing somebody up.
Yeah.
A phenomenal teammate, and he... Doesn't know if anybody knows this, but he broke his eye socket early in the season. Basically played with a broken face. And I see other guys in the league walking out on their teammates because they don't want to play. So it's just an aspect of...
Nice little side swipe there.
Yeah, took a little shot at him on the way out, old Tommy boy.
I mean, that's the most offensive thing you can do.
Quit on your squad.
You start quitting on the squad.
You're never coming back.
Nobody's defending you in that scenario.
And I wonder if it's a thing, because I seen over the weekend so a high school basketball player quit on his squad.
No.
And they were getting worked. They were getting worked. I think they had like 15 points on the board. The other squad had like 54 or something.
Yeah.
He grabbed his bag, put on the slides and everything, and walked on out.
So he didn't go full Antonio Brown and start disrobing.
He did
say, once you take the shoes off and go to the slides, you're in chill mode now.
Got his gym bag. Still had his uniform on, and he walked on out. Don't leave us, Daddy. Where you going?
That's hilarious, though.
All right. I'll be black tomorrow, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. That's my time. Y'all be safe out here. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Hanukkah, and Kwanzaa, all that good stuff. Holla.
Lucius, is it fair to kind of hope that the guy who stole the grill ended up getting food poisoning from whatever it was he cooked?
It would be nice. I don't want to see him on TikTok all of a sudden cooking off that grill, frying alligators and stuff.
All right, sports hodgepodge. We go into the power hour here. Football and food. That's what Texas does.